This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blessings and peace to you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Is God's Word still relevant in our day? Well, the Bible warns us against many of the behaviors that are common in our world today. So, can they really be all that bad? Well, we invite you to stay with us as we talk about a heavy subject in today's program.
God's Word is entirely relevant in every day. We're going to talk about that in a sermon this morning and evening. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that we may sense the relevancy of your Word. As you speak to us in every situation, and at times lay it on pretty heavy, but more often lifts it with the gospel. So, Lord, as we discuss a difficult subject this morning, may we feel the wings of your Spirit lifting us, teaching us, comforting us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, fulfill thy word and
friends in Christ. A man who once lived in our community returned for a visit, and we had lunch together. He had happened to be in our church on Sunday morning and listened to me preach. In our lunching conversation, he said, "I am amazed that you can still hold the attention of your congregation." And he was not complimenting me necessarily on any ability that I might have to communicate the gospel, but he went on to say, "The topic that you use is not relevant to our day." After a little conversation, I simply said, "Well, all I can tell you is this, that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so is his word. So if I'll be faithful to the proclamation of the word, that is sufficient for relevancy in any age." I think of this man often and wonder what he would say about our text today. It is only one verse, but I believe he would have to say, "This speaks to the hour." This is from that 13th chapter of Hebrews, where we're spending a little time as a part of the early Advent season. And here the writer says, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral." Let me read it once more. "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." Again, that is found in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 4th verse. It is interesting to notice that we live in a day of immorality. I am not aware of it so much on a first-hand basis, but when I turn on my television, when I read my newspaper, or when I listen to the conversation of some people, I can see that things are not often very good. I know that when I used to conduct some interviews for people who were going to be married, I ran into a little of it there. But they tell me it is increasing right along. One of God's greatest gifts to the Christian is the gift of the marriage bed. And that relationship, that unique relationship that God has instituted for a husband and a wife. Well, today we wrestle with this matter of cohabitation. Somebody will say, "It has always been." Go back and read your Old Testament, and there you will see plenty of it. I'm sure that's right. I know it's right from the Old Testament. And I'm sure it's right in secular behavior from the very beginning. But simply because it has been common doesn't make it any better. Perhaps it makes it a little bit more less embarrassing if there are so many people finding that as their way of life. But that still is not God-pleasing. I recall along at the end of my pastorate, I was visiting with a man and a woman who were going to be married. And during the course of the visit together, she announced that she was living at the same address as her fiancé. When she announced this, I said to her, for she was a person from our church, the man who was going to be the husband, he was unchurched. So I looked at her and I said, how do you feel about this? And she said, good, really good. Now I know him inside and out. Then I turned to him and said, but how do you feel, sir? And to my surprise, he says, not good. It is not right, Pastor. It is not right. She looked at him very astoundedly. And she said, but you agreed to this type of behavior? You thought it was the right thing for us to do? It would save us rent. It was more convenient, and so forth and so on. Her fiancé said, I do not say that I did not enjoy it or do not enjoy it, but I do say this, I am sure that it is not right. So we discussed it a little bit further, and finally she said, well, I can tell you this, that 95% of the people my age have had relationships of one type or another. Now, I know it's always easy to say that the crowd makes it easier, that it becomes a sort of a way of life. But does it really, friend? Well, certainly it doesn't for those of us who have sensed the coming of Jesus Christ into our lives through that redemptive experience. And he lives in our life, and we have a personal, intimate relationship with him. These two things simply do not go together. But I'm interested in visiting with you today about this, and I'm going to be more plain talk than generally I am. Let's go back to the Old Testament, back to the days when God created the earth. You remember after he had created all the birds and the fish and the fowl and the landscape, etc. He said, now let us create man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God said to them, now, be fruitful and increase in number. Here's another passage from Genesis 2:18. Then God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable handmaid for him. Notice that one of the purposes of marriage was that there should be fellowship, a unique, intimate kind of fellowship that only husband and wife can really enjoy and understand. That's the uniqueness of that sexual relationship. Listen to Genesis 2:22. Then the Lord God made a woman from his rib, from Adam's rib. He had taken this rib out of man, and he had brought her to the man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and the woman were both naked, and they felt no shame. So it is very clear from the creation of the world that what our Lord was doing as a creator was making a very unique relationship between a man and a woman. And when they had that union, the two were to become one. Tell you, friend, that's pretty relevant in our day. But it is not only in the Old Testament. It is scattered throughout the Scriptures. And let me now turn you to a man like none other, Jesus Christ. And what is it that Jesus Christ says in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 4? If you want that passage, it's Matthew 19, verse 4. Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? Notice that, male and female. And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The two have become one. You are one with your spouse. That is a part of marriage. So therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they're pretty relevant. Relevant even for us today. We can live in this type of behaviorhood, if you wish, but the church must speak against it. And that is what my purpose is today, going back to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and seeing that he has said what he has said. The marriage is to be taken extremely seriously. Stop and think, friend. If we were able to sleep around, as they use the term today, I heard of one man in our community who supposedly has had relationships with 25 different women. The one, of course, is his wife. But every time that relationship is dealt with, as far as another person is concerned, there is that tie, and the two become one. In other words, he seems to be married as far as the physical is concerned, as far as the spiritual is concerned. He is married to that woman and she to that man. So what happens? Studies have been made from those who have had very unfortunate marriages, and they find out that when they have done that and have had multiple experiences with different women or different men, that the first has been spoiled. And the results of that are that the remembrance of many of these immoral conditions plagues them over the satisfaction of the one that God intended them to have. So the church must utter that voice, and we utter it today. I read it again. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. Now, I'm sure that I speak to many of you who are living pure lives. That is, you're pure as far as the sexual activity is concerned. You've had one spouse, and that's all. And maybe you've lived 60 or 65 years with that same woman, and you're never tired of one another. You have a story to tell to those who do not know what to do about marriage. But I want to say that there are many, I'm sure, who speak to me who are angry. And I don't want you to be angry, nor does God. Because while he cannot change it, and while he will not say, well, that's all right, the circumstances for you were different, there is one voice that can make it right. And that person is Jesus Christ, who has come into this world and suffered and died at the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. There, he was willing to take all of our sins upon him. And if you believe with all your heart that you have been doing wrong according to the will of God, don't try to make it right yourself. You can't. But take it to God. Go into your bedroom and shut the door and get down on your knees and confess out to Jesus Christ what you have done. And you will hear him say, I forgive you. The slate is clear. It is a bad sin, but not the unforgivable sin. Now, this does not take the situation and make it easy. That's not what he is doing, and certainly this is not what I want to do then. But simply, it is to say that the way you're living in that immorality and laughing about it is wrong. Wrong again from the Word of God. And all will not go well with you. So where does Christmas come into this? Would you remember one of the verses in the Christmas Gospel? It has been said that unto us is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It is to that Savior you can go. It is in this Christmastide that you may come, and you could say, Lord Jesus, we cannot celebrate Christmas in the true sense of the word with all of this on our hearts, and then pour it out and confess to him, and you will hear him say, I forgive you. And that is the gospel for Christmas, which is known as the Christmas gospel. No wonder we can sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. We have a Savior who can even deliver us from all of our immorality. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from
sweet hour of prayer.
affliction bear to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word and trust His grace, I'll pass on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet love.
Shall we pray together? God in heaven, your word is truth. So sanctify us in your truth. Grant that we may take this very seriously, that we may understand that your word has said that all types of sexual relationship outside of the marriage state is sin, and God will judge it. And nobody, not even the President of the United States, can change that. But, oh God, you can. And so we pray that there may be many today who will find their way to you, and they will see in you a resting place. God, we need you. We need you as our Savior, for we live in an immoral age. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has encouraged you to take all your cares to the Lord, seeking His forgiveness and grace for your life. As we conclude another Thanksgiving celebration, we offer our prayers and thanksgiving to God for our many listeners. May God bless you and those whom you love as you travel home from your destination. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. Memorials and honorarium gifts are a meaningful way to remember a loved one. We are thankful for each of our listeners who remember Christian Crusaders with their prayers and gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusaders sermons can be found in our sermon library as well. Please check us out on the web at christiancrusaders.org. We're happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray you will continue to join us each week on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday for the past 76 years.